2018. To me, it is impossible to sum up a year in a mere podcast episode or with mere words or sentences even, but I can give you this, an episode about a small part of my year in review. Yes, a final tally and overview of the books that my friend Kristen and I read in 2018. So here's a toast to the best that this year had to offer. And welcome back to Diddy and Hawthorne in the In-Between. I'm your host, Mackenzie Gentz, and you're listening to my podcast about the relevancy of literature in the 21st century. Now bookmark that book, and let's begin. I want to start the episode out with a few things. So first, we have listeners from all across the globe, and I want to give a shout out to some of the top countries of listeners this year in no particular order. The US, Spain, Uruguay, Sweden, the UK, India, Norway, France, and Colombia. Thank you guys so much for listening to my show and experiencing this journey as I'm going through it. It is so humbling to know that people are getting value from my content, and even if it's just one person per country listening to every episode, that's worth it to me. So thank you all again, and I hope that you have a wonderful holiday season and are able to approach the new year with gratitude and love. No matter if you read 75, 54, 2, or even no books this year, there's something in this episode for everyone. Finally, we are starting the new year a few weeks early with new music composed by Chad Crouch, an incredible composer and pianist in his own right. Our theme song, you know, the 10-note ditty we hear at the beginning of every episode, as well as the closing music, are staying the same, as they're both written and performed by yours truly, but everything else, like the music you are hearing right now, is all Chad. Enough babbling. Let's get on with the interview, shall we?
Well, hello, Kristen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mackenzie? It's good to be back.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You're our first recurring guest. Yay.
Yay.
Were you the first? You weren't the first guest.
I wasn't the first guest, no.
Unfortunately. But we can have you as like a recurring motif on the DHMI podcast. Very exciting.
We're talking about books in general. It's books in general, and our thoughts on books in general seem to be the topics.
Yes, and books in 2018 specifically, because I've announced it. I've read 61 books this year, and I'm not going to read a single other book. capped it at 61.
Capped it at 61 with 3 days left.
Yes. the last book I finished was A Pale View of Hills by Kazuo Ishiguro, and it was... it was riveting. I didn't expect this, especially since I'm pretty into the scene with Japanese contemporary writing. Mm-hmm. It totally blindsided me when I read it. It's a really short number, but it was so thought out, and it felt like you were working through things while Kazuo was, which was cool. And also, I met someone who knows Kazuo Ishiguro, and he's actually the Nobel Prize winner for literature for last year.
Wow. What's the longest book you've ever read? That's not one of my official questions, but I'm now curious.
Okay, so I read a lot of long ones this year, actually. Mm-hmm. Killing Commendatore by Haruki Murakami and 1Q84. Those are both over 1,000 pages. And I read Anna Karenina. I think the longest book I will read is Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace. I'm reading it now. Mm-hmm. I'm at the part at like the, I don't know, 50 or 100 page mark where you've been reading about this guy waiting for his weed dealer for like 30 pages. And you're like, why? And you're like, where does the tennis person come in again? And yeah, so Infinite Jest, I think, will be the longest.
Okay.
I think it's really long. It's like 2000.
Okay.
How about you? It's the longest book.
The longest book I ever purchased and then wanted to read was about 1,300 pages. Mm. And that, I think I got maybe 100 or 200 pages into it, and then I stopped just because carrying it around was a lot, and it was when I first moved to Tucson and I had nothing better to do. So I had this giant book and I'd be reading it at like swim meets. And slowly I started to socialize, so I just put the book on the bookshelf. But I think this past year I read a book for a series that was for 900 pages.
Wow.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
All right, let's get into the questions. Okay, my first question is, do you have favorite books or do you find value in every book you read? And then conversely, of course, do you have books you despise?
I think we need to define what value is first, because okay. value can be like defined in many different ways depending on like what kind of books you read. Because you That's read true. Like very literate books, and I read like, I feel like you find value in like understanding what the author is trying to say, and like going, you were talking about the book that you finished with, and like, what was it you were finding out what the author was trying to say while you were reading?
Yeah, like we were working through things together.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like our styles in reading, it's like me, it's more reading books. Like, not, I've been watching Avengers Infinity War, so that's on my mind, but like Avengers versus The Beautiful Mind. So like there's one that you watch where you can value it because of like the sequences and like the plot devices and like the actual content, and then there's also the books that you can read that you appreciate more, like the meaning behind it and what they're trying to say about society or about a specific aspect of something.
So it's almost like superficial enjoyment because the story's good versus enjoyment because you're working through, you have to like work for it.
Yes.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I'd say like both types.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely more superficial because most of the books that I read that I've had to work through are from classes. And for me, just like the way that I developed my reading as a child was mostly all superficial. Mm-hmm. So like my favorite books are like Harry Potter. And, you know, I was a big Percy Jackson fan. So definitely the superficial like plot, action, romance, movie type books.
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I didn't find value in reading like Crime and Punishment, Wuthering Heights. Love the drama of Wuthering Heights. I really want to reread it.
Yes.
But I think it makes it harder for me to like go out and then seek those literate books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned some of your favorite books. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I don't really have favorite books. It's like asking someone what's their favorite movie, or like someone who's into movies, what's their favorite movie? And it's like, well, I have 10 movies, and they're my favorite for different reasons. I mean, I guess if you want a glance at some of my favorites, like I do episodes periodically, like The Most Beautiful Passages in Literature, like perspective-changing books or whatever. I think part of the problem is that I read so much. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just so much coming in that I'm just touched by every book that I read. It's like, I don't know, like, I was probably as touched by Lord of the Rings as something, as, like, my last Kurt Vonnegut book.
I don't know why. I've been thinking about Wuthering Heights a lot recently. Like, that was probably my favorite book that I read in general. Or Beowulf. I really enjoyed Beowulf.
Mm, I've never read Beowulf.
No?
Yeah.
It's short. I think you'd like it. Mm. My dad, who grew up in Puerto Rico, hates it because he had to read it in Old English.
Oh.
So I remember, talking, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so interesting, and it's about the Danes, and we're Danish. And my dad's like, I hated that book. I had to read it in Old English. I didn't understand any of it. It was really funny. Oh, wait. We have to talk about books that you despise.
Oh,
I
want to
know if you despise any books.
So I don't know if we've gotten to this on the show, but I've never read Harry Potter because when I was younger, my best friend, Jenny, could not read Harry Potter because she went to a Christian school and they didn't allow her to read it. And so I was like, there's going to be no one to talk to about Harry Potter. So, like, not going to read it, you know? And I guess the temptation was always there, but I'm old enough now that I'm like, it's like a point of pride, you know? Where I'm like, I have never read Harry Potter. There are some books that I felt were kind of, like, lackluster. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's kind of the same thing. Don't attack me in the comment section, but, like, Rupi Kaur, like Milk and Honey and Sunflower or something. Mm-hmm. I didn't like those books, but I still read them. I still force myself to read them. How about you? You have books you despise.
I'm trying to think. There are books that I mean, the closest I think I could get to despise it. I don't think, that's the thing. I don't despise a book in its whole. I despise certain elements of the book. Like, overall, I loved The Odyssey, but the main reason I think I really enjoyed it was the last 100 pages, because that was the most riveting and exciting part of the book.
Yeah.
And when talking with other people while reading, I was like, I don't despise, like I said, I don't despise the book. I despise aspects of it, especially like if it's, I don't find the meaning in it. Mm. Like, what was one book? at the end of the A Yellow Raft in Blue Water.
Yeah, that one.
And aspects of the story were beautiful, but like the overall message I think was just lost on me.
Yeah, so, that's true. Me too. I had a hard time with that. That and Cry the Beloved Country.
That was the one about the pastor. Apartheid. Yeah.
And then also, man, I'm just like really going ham. What is the Zora Neale Hurston book?
Oh, I mean, Eyes Were Watching God.
Yeah, I've read stuff from her that I really like, but I just did not like that book at all.
I'm trying to think what other, I just don't want to be harping on all of Sudak's books.
Okay, well, I was going to say like Cormac McCarthy. Not that I don't find value in him, okay?
Yeah. Like, in my writing intensive class this past year, it's like the fundamental structure of academic argument. And it's just a bunch of stuff where it's like you have to identify merits of their argument. So like there are merits in all of the authors. Like you can really appreciate the prose, but not really enjoy the plot line. Or, you know, they can have a great plot line and they decide to write in a new writing style. Like Faulkner.
Yes.
Faulkner. What is the Faulkner book we read? It was
The Sound and the Fury.
The Sound and the Fury. Like you could appreciate one chapter of the book and not another. So
that's true. I mean, speaking of books I love, Sound and the Fury. Actually, Infinite Jest reminds me a lot of The Sound and the Fury. Just because, like, David Foster Wallace, if you don't know, he had, like, autism or something like that, and some sort of learning challenge. And he actually ended up committing suicide after he wrote Infinite Jest. So, I don't know. It speaks a lot to, like, what he put into Infinite Jest, like the introduction, for example, it's in very high praise because it's a 20th anniversary edition, which is a big milestone for a book. How often do you reread books, and do you have a wide range of books you reread, or is it just a choice few?
Okay, I reread the endings of books because, like, most of the books I read, like, I just reread the climax, which is like, I don't know, it's like a good scene, it's dramatic, it's romantic oftentimes. So like, if I'm, like that's the main thing, if I'm like bored at night and there's nothing I really want to do, I'll like go to my bookshelf and be like, ooh, which one do I want to reread? Like my favorite chapter in Harry Potter, the seventh book that I was always reread is the one where Harry discovers, I can't remember if it's either Snape's or Dumbledore's memories about his mom, and just like the progression of that. That's a beautiful chapter. So yeah, I'll often reread the parts of books that I just love the most that like make me happy on the inside. I reread the Harry Potter series. I was obsessed when I was younger. I probably read the seventh book like 7 times. And the entire series 3 times. The thing is, I think I read it so much when I was younger is that it's hard for me to reread it now. I'm gonna try again, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the trouble. Like, with books that I like for the superficial plot line, like, I do read some. And, like, if you go back to, maybe it was the episode about how to read a book a year. I'll put it in the description. But there are some books that I think people will be surprised that I read. I read the Beautiful Creatures series.
Okay, I saw that, and I was like, that's definitely not the series I'm thinking of, like the Southern Witches.
And then I read Chasing Red and Always Red. That was partly for the podcast, but also partly because like sometimes you just need a day to just read, but you can't read like, I couldn't read Dickens all day. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just too, my mind gets too boggled, and I'm not like not functional the next day. So when I need something like that, I'll just read a book in a day, like, or 2 books in one day, as I did ashamedly this winter break. But yeah, there are some like palate cleansers, and I think that it is important to cross genres, especially if you read such a high volume. But in terms of rereading, sometimes I will go back to passages, as you said. Like, my favorite book series in middle school was the Hollow Trilogy. It's about this ghost, and he, like, falls in love with this girl who likes going to mausoleums, which is, like, totally what I was into. It's still into, I guess. But sometimes I'll be like, what chapter was it with when this happened? Or like, if I'm, mm-hmm. if I'm in a bad mood, I'll read a chapter from Me Talk Pretty One Day by David mm-hmm. Sedaris. I love that book. Or like, I'll read Twilight Eclipse. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my favorite book from the Twilight series.
Oh, okay.
Do you tend to reread the same books over and over again, or just...
Yeah. It's always fun to go back and look at books, and you realize the plot, or the point is like 14, and then you go to books that it's like an entire page filled of 12-point font.
Yeah. Oh, that is the hard part. Like, especially with longer books, like mm-hmm. the 1,200-page books, you get used to that font size over mm-hmm. however many months it takes you to read. And then you go to a different book, you're like, oh, not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of rereading, I was not a rereader until I started the 52 books a year challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I ran out of books to read. It's just that I sometimes needed that higher level of comprehension after reading them. And, mm-hmm. like, I always read books multiple times for classes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, The Year of Magical Thinking, I read twice this year. And I reread a lot of Vonnegut books this year.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know, almost to salvage the feeling that I felt, you know, having just read or finished this, like, tremendous book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, question three is Kristen's question.
Well, you already kind of answered my question, but I want to delve deeper into it. Will you ever read the Harry Potter books?
I'll read the Harry Potter books when David Sudak reads the Harry Potter books. Which is to say, probably never.
Probably never, yeah. I to each their own. It just makes me sad because it's like, maybe one day as a palate cleanser, you'll approach them again.
I mean, okay, the thing is that, I don't know, I've actually thought about this a bit, not mm-hmm. too much, but one of my thoughts on this was maybe it's like someone who knows they will become an alcoholic if they start drinking. You know, like, I think part of me knows that I would really like it if I read it. And so I'm just like, can't read it. No. I get too into it. And I guess another part of it is that I try to allocate my time pretty judiciously.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try not to, like, focus too much on one genre or, like, one author.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it gets the better of me, like Kurt Vonnegut or like mm-hmm. Joan Didion. Mm-hmm. 2019 is the year of Didion. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And Murakami also. I spent a lot of time on Murakami this year.
But those books aren't necessarily series. You're not a series reader. Okay.
I'm not really a series reader.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. I'm glad that we've delved into it. On the topic of superficial books, there are superficial books that start off really well, like, I feel like superficial sci-fi books, the first book is always really good.
Mm.
Second one's, it's okay. It's still enjoyable. And by the third, it's just like, there are so many plot elements that they're trying to maintain that it ends up getting a little too sci-fi. But let me just praise Sarah J. Maas real quick. She has written, I think, over 5 books in the same series, multiple plot lines that all converge, in my opinion, beautifully. It's just so good. If you're looking for, like, it is lighter reading, but like, if you're looking for, like, a palate cleanser, like something really entertaining, all of the books are so individual, but like tied together so beautifully. It's just such a good series. Okay, my second question for you has, what has been the progression of your literary journey? So, like, for me, I talked about this earlier, it's always been kind of the superficial, enjoyment reading. Was it ever that for you? When did it shift? Has it always been very mind-provoking?
Oh, that's cool. That's a good question. When I was younger, I wasn't actually that into reading.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of like a competition thing because I couldn't do sports because I was really fat when I was younger. so it's more of a competition thing, and I was like, oh yes, I'm smarter than everyone else because I read like 20 Goosebumps books a day. but I don't know, like I said, I was really into like Twilight and Goosebumps and the Hollow Trilogy, and I read a lot of like contemporary books that were also very disturbing. Like, I remember, I think Ellen Hopkins is the name of the author, but she writes about, there's a series about like crack addiction. So I read a lot of those books when I was younger.
So like dramatic, slightly twisted, dark books?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But they were still in mm-hmm. the categorization of YA, I think.
Okay. There are a lot of strange things in young adult novels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, freshman, sophomore year of high school, probably read less than 10 books in both of those years. Mm-hmm. Junior year, in 2016-ish, I decided I'm going to try reading 52 books a year. And for the next 2 years, 2016 and 2017, I decided that I was going to do as many different genres as I could. And I tried not to read two similar books in a row. So, mm-hmm. like... I know for a fact that I like did read like multiple Kurt Vonnegut books in a row, but I really tried not to, mm-hmm. just because Kurt Vonnegut is so palatable. Like, if that was all I had to read for the rest of my life, I could probably read just Kurt Vonnegut. Anywho, so yeah, I started reading more, and I think a big like turning point for that career was when I read Crime and Punishment.
Okay.
I don't know, I've talked about this in several like writing pieces that I've had to do, but that was really what motivated me. There's more out there than what I'm doing, mm-hmm. or not doing, in yeah. fact. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really get into literary stuff. Like, I didn't read Faulkner or Dickens or anything mm-hmm. like that until this past year, because I wanted to do classics on steroids, especially when I started the podcast, because I thought that perhaps if I did a show with the most unpalatable book, I thought it would be just better.
Mm-hmm. I hate it when people would say, like, I hate reading. I don't like reading. Like, this book is terrible. And I'm like, there are aspects. I agree with you. But, like,
yeah,
there's always a little value in books. That's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, what are your hopes in 2019 in terms of reading?
Reading in college is so much different, just because, like, in high school, there's, like, the set number of books that you have to read, that your teacher will assign mm-hmm. you. Whereas in college, like, I've read a lot of, like, pieces of books.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, the excerpts, and the excerpts mm-hmm. are all, for the most part, interesting. So I think my goal... I don't know, because the Sarah J. Maas series finished, but okay. My goal, okay, I think it's going to be to try and reread Harry Potter, because like, I've forgotten so much of it that I think it's like time. It's finally time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have time on my hands too. Pride and Prejudice might be another goal of mine. I've tried to start. Ooh. I've watched the movie with Keira Knightley. Mm-hmm. Love the movie. And I've tried to read the book. It's just like sitting. I think I just have to get through it. But I have. That's one of the things. Like, unless it's for a class, it's really hard for me to force myself through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, also, there's the aspect of like it's only you by yourself.
Yeah.
It's a very solitary pursuit.
It's just hard to get books now. Like, that's the sad part about growing up. Like, at least with, like, in terms of, like, the superficial enjoyment reading, it's really hard to continue that, because that was all I did.
I agree. That's what I found, especially in the past few years, is that I'll read something like Chasing Red or, like, Twilight, but I'm not going to get the same things out of it that I did, presumably, when I was younger.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, in part, those experiences or those books are filling in for the experiences that you can't have.
Yeah.
We're very much able and capable now of mm-hmm. living our own lives.
Yeah.
So, okay, I have some reading goals for you. There's a lot of reading goals. Ooh, okay. First goal, vis-a-vis my subscribers and my Facebook friends, to read Didion's collective works. I think there are 16 to 18 novels of hers. I've read two of them. I own one more. So reading that's going to be number one. I want to read more new books. So part of that is I'm putting in my podcasting schedule. I'm going to buy a book in February and then review it at the end of February. Hopefully I can get in with the 2019 lit scene, mm-hmm. even more so than the 2018 lit scene. We'll see. I have it on my phone because there are just too many. Okay, I want to read Infinite Jest. That's a really hard book to finish. It's mm-hmm. more... known for the amount of times people start it than the number of people who finish it.
What is the... Oh my gosh, we watched... Oh, it's a book about a man in Dublin and every single chapter... Dublin... And every single chapter is different, like a different type...
Ulysses?
Yes, I think it's Ulysses.
Okay. It could be Finnegan's Wake also.
Okay.
I think it's Ulysses, actually.
I think
it's
the one you're describing.
Yeah.
Sorry, that just popped into my head.
Actually, Ulysses is also on my list. I want to finish Ulysses, and I also want to finish Absalom, which is Faulkner's hardest book. It's like a spinoff of...
Quentin? Oh, okay.
It's like more on Quentin. I want to read Bleak House by Dickens, which is like 800 pages of pure torture, as I've heard. I don't really know. Brothers K, also by Dostoevsky. That's a big one. I want to read something by Guy Deutscher and something by Steven Pinker. They're both linguists. And I just haven't read a lot of books on linguistics, and I'm like, what am I doing? I want to go through the Ishiguro and like Siri, all the his books, and then I also want to read more books by Nobel winners.
Okay.
Because I feel like oftentimes the most popular authors are not the Nobel winners. And I'm like, why?
You know, that's a good question. But it's also, I feel like you have to just be in the niche to know and like understand, because they're writing to experiment and understand, whereas like superficial is, I think, a good way to describe it, but like there's nothing wrong with reading palatable, enjoyable books.
Yeah, I agree. Like there's, I find nothing wrong with it. But yeah, Nobel winners, I feel like that's just a pocket that I haven't read in yet.
And yeah.
Hopefully that will keep the variety up. I realized looking back at my list that I didn't read a lot of variety this year. I mean, I did read like a book by Stephen Hawking, for example. Ooh. But that was definitely the minority, whereas in other years, the majority of books were books outside of my comfort zone.
Are you going to read books from like Nobel Prize winners in just literature, or are you going to branch out?
I wanted to read Misbehaving by Richard Thaler. He won the Nobel Prize in Economics, which is actually not a Nobel Prize, by the way, but I have one more goal. I want to read a book in German.
Ooh.
All right. Well, thank you, Kristen, for coming on my podcast for a second go around.
I would come on here every single time if I had the time.
Yes. Whoa.
If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from me, there's an episode of DH&I for everyone, so I recommend checking out our back catalog of episodes, which should be available on whatever podcasting app you're using. If you need some guidance, try the last episode about A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It's our last December Dickens episode. 2019 is the year of Didion, so if you'd like to follow along in my quest to read Joan Didion's collective works or learn more about the movement to bring lit back to people, everything can be found at didionandhawthorne.blueberry.net. And remember that blueberry is spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. Now you can also follow the show on Twitter with @DidionIn, 2 N's total. I'll be posting about new lit releases, reading lists, and of course the new projects and episodes relating to DH&I. Also stay tuned for the next episode. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be analyzing Joan Didion's The White Album. Still there? One more thing then. Remember that leaving a comment or review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or any other Guilty Pleasure podcast platform helps leverage the show so that other literature enthusiasts can find the community. In other words, it helps a ton. See y'all in the new year!